Just a note before I continue, I read the lessons this morning, mostly because I forgot to see if I could get somebody else to read. Many of you have volunteered that role, and I've had too many other things to think about this morning, so I forgot. Got word from our reader, Georgia Priest, that she was unable to be here at the last minute last evening. So, like to be able to share the wealth, but when I forget to assign somebody to that task, I step in and make it happen. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Blessed to be a blessing. You've heard me say it many times. And here's where it comes from. Genesis chapter 12, when God calls out to Abram and tells him to go. Go to a land that I will show you, and there I will bless you. But God quickly clarifies this promise of blessing. God says, Abram, I will make of you a great nation, and I will make your name great, and I will bless you and your wife Sarai. But it's all for a purpose. Not just for your own glory, God says to Abram. I will bless you so that you will be a blessing to others. This is the call of Abraham. The very beginning of the story of God and God's people. Oh, there have been other stories and other people, at least stories of people. Adam and Eve and Noah and his family and a whole city of people who thought that they should build a tower that reached all the way into heaven. But here in Genesis chapter 12, the story focuses in from 30,000 feet, as it were, down to one man and his faithful bride, Abram and Sarai, Abraham and Sarah, as they will come to be known. These are the people with whom God chooses to make a fresh start. You see, it's been a bumpy ride for God already in the first few chapters of the Bible. There was the serpent who messed things up with Eve and her gullible husband. And Cain and Abel, well, they couldn't get along. And then finally, God thought that he should flood the whole earth, but save good old Noah and a bunch of animals. But Noah couldn't quite keep it together. And there was that business of the tower reaching to the sky. You know, fun fact, they were the first to actually use the slogan, "Make Babel Great Again." But they didn't have hats, so it didn't work out. Anyway, after all of this, God sits back and decides that he's going to have to do something different. These people of the world, they don't want to follow any of the rules. The only command they seem to even care about is the one about being fruitful and multiplying. But otherwise, these people are out of control. They just want to do their own thing. They don't want to care about anyone but themselves. They don't want to belong to God, and they don't even seem to want God's blessings. But God is tenacious, or foolish, one or the other. God decides that he's going to start over once again. So he chooses Abram, a Bedouin desert dweller, and Abram's wife Sarai, and he announces to them that they and their family will be the ongoing relationship through which God will bless the world. And here in chapter 12 of Genesis is the original blessing. How God eventually gets it done, well, that's the rest of the story, but this is where it starts. You remember what it's like to start something new? Maybe it was when you had decided to have children of your own. Maybe it was when you started a new job or moved to a new town. Or when you began a new hobby, picked up an instrument for the first time, or learned to knit. You remember the hope? You remember the dream that you dared might come of this new thing that you had decided to do? Was God part of that decision? Did you hear that voice from God, from the universe like Abraham did? Was it God who told you that this was to be the new place where you to live, or this was your new job, or here, play the accordion. Now, I suppose there are things that we do just because they have to get done, just like brushing our teeth and going through the closet to get rid of old stuff. But most of the time, whether it's for our job, or taking care of family, or because it's a thing we feel that we're good at and that we like doing, we call these things vocations. Vocations can be what we do for a career, like teaching or banking, but vocations are also a lot of other things in life, like parenting or gardening or fixing old bicycles so that poor kids can use them again, or fishing or caring for the environment. Sometimes we get paid for it, but most of the time not. But all the things we do, usually because it's fun and because we find that we're good at it, these are the things that make up what we call our vocations. And I think vocation is, wherever it may be, whatever it may be, is a product of God speaking into our lives, telling us to go. Go and do that thing. Be that person. Help those people. Take care of that part of creation. Make that thing that will beautify the world or help others live a better life. Go and do the thing, the idea that I have put in your brain, and I will bless you. I will bless you in your happiness, in your gratification of a job well done, maybe in the money that you will make because of what you will do, in the seeing of all that is good that comes because you and your life makes a difference in the world. And the blessings that I give to you are the blessings that will also bless others. You will not just have a life of satisfaction, maybe even luxury, but you will change for good the lives of others because of what you do, because I will be working through you. Go, and I will bless you so that you will be a blessing. This is God's new plan for choosing Abram. God had decided that he was going to bless one person. And in that blessing, God would bless the whole world over the span of centuries and beyond. And because God's plan worked, over the years and years of Abraham's family, people kept getting blessed. And the story of God's love for the people kept being shared. And people trusted God. It wasn't perfect and it wasn't easy. Even God got pretty disgusted at things along the way sometimes, but vocation worked. Through the lives of family and friends, people learned what God wanted them to do and how God wanted them to be. They did those things. They were teachers and parents and builders and thinkers. They did all kinds of jobs and had countless hobbies and side hustles, and people all over the world. And all the world and all the creation was blessed because of it. And then one day, one of those people decided to seek out a new teacher. A person he had heard was really good at helping folks learn about their place and their purpose in God's world. The man's name was Nicodemus. And the teacher that he sought out was Jesus. When Nicodemus came to Jesus at night, he was doing the same thing, basically, that Abraham had done those many centuries before. He was listening for God's direction, not only on how to live, but how to live for the sake of others. Nicodemus says to Jesus, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God." And Jesus interrupts Nicodemus because Jesus knows what he's going to ask. Jesus knows because it's the same thing everyone always asks. Nicodemus is going to ask, "What do you want me to do? What should I do? Where should I go? What is God calling me to do?" Jesus ends up telling Nicodemus a bunch of stuff that he didn't know that he needed to know. And it's a good thing because it's stuff that we need to know, even though we don't know that we needed to know it. But stuff like being born again and born anew into abundant life and trusting God for healing, especially the deepest wounds of sin and grief. But finally, Jesus gets around to answering Nicodemus' question. The question that Nicodemus never got to actually ask. And it's an answer so beautiful that it's become one of the most loved Bible verses of all time. Although we only remember half, the first half of it most of the time. Nicodemus wants to know, what does God want me to be and do? And Jesus responds by telling Nicodemus what God has sent Jesus into the world to do. But this answers Nicodemus' question because it's the same thing God sends everybody into the world to do. Everyone from Abraham to you and me today. God sends us into the world to bless others. John 3:16 says it this way, God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that everyone who might believe in him, who believes in him, might have eternal life, have a blessed life. Yeah, I know that you remember it, and even I default to saying it as eternal life, but what Jesus is really saying there is abundant life. That's what the word eternal in that phrase means. It means abundant life, and an abundant life is a blessed life. But Jesus doesn't stop there. Remember, that's only the first half of what Jesus has to say. Jesus goes on to say that God didn't send the Son or anyone into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved. Sent into the world to be blessed. Blessed in the world to save the world through blessings of love and all of the good things that all of us can do. We're not going to do it perfectly. We're going to make a lot of mistakes along the way, like Abraham did, and all the people of God everywhere. But God will continue to bless us, to give us abundant life and the work and family and skills and hobbies and talents to do all that God calls us to do. And with those blessings, the world will be blessed. Our friends and neighbors, our country, our church, even our enemies and those who maybe don't even deserve anything good. The world will be blessed. And God will save the world. Now I want to close by saying two things. One, God has been doing this through this church for over 128 years. God has been at work in the families of this church and the blessings that have showered upon their own sons and daughters and neighbors near and far all along for a long, long time. Many of you have experienced that blessing. Some of you listening on the radio, are the product of that blessing. Thanks be to God. Thank you and thank God for you. That's one. And two, God has given us the opportunity today to continue that legacy in at least a couple of big ways here in this community. God has blessed us just like he blessed Abraham and Sarah. And if you know that story, you know there were some really far-fetched ideas that God came up with about trusting God when the resources were thought to be depleted or long gone for an old body. If you know what I mean. Some may say that the ideas that we have here at Bethlehem are far-fetched, even reckless, too. Or that we don't have the resources to do bold and blessed things. But God has never told us to sit back and do nothing until we think the time is right or that the money is in the bank. God tells us to go. Go to the place that I will show you, and there I will bless you, and you will be a blessing. We are blessed. Let us step out in faith and be the blessing God knows we can be. Amen.